the grass will die and the flowers fall, but your words are life and we'll be after all.
My balance, I fell from the trapeze. This act isn't easy. I've been underwater. This storm has been raging. These nights are not sleeping. My dreams are now strangers to me, and I need you now. There's too many miles on my bones. I can't carry the weight of the world. No, not on my own. Lightning, your voice is like water. This place is a desert. I've been walking in circles. I'm screaming for answers. Am I falling to pieces?
Go to heaven. yada wada yippity boom boom. Chang 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 and a chang chabop. That's the way it should be. Wow, yeah. We're one of a kind, like dip to dip to dip, do wop to doo doo. My name's our sign. A boogie 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 shoop you wop shabop. Chang 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 and a chang chabop. We'll always be like one.
Shooby-doo-wopping into the studio today for your Sunday show service, Rapture-Centric Church Survival Meeting. And we are. We survive. Jesus is our pastor. He offers the best salvation of any congregation. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you. Lead us. And all that other good stuff we're looking for, and you've had us expecting for a really long time. Thank you very much. We trust you for it. Yeah, now. Okay, sorry. Being a little animated, it's one of those days. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Shibidi-wop. We'll always be together. And all that other stuff. Moving on out. We're going to move out soon. Ah, I want to let everybody know, Michelle is on the line, but she sent me a text about an hour ago and said that she would be at work, which answered the question I had because she'd been able to do the Sunday shows. And I wasn't sure because I thought she didn't have to work on Sundays, but I guess sometimes she does. So she's at work today, and she is on the line, but she will not be speaking. So, Michelle, I'm just going to not unmute you, and you can send me a text if you want to say something, but otherwise I will leave you muted and go from there. Pat, Mama Pat is on the line, and she's been not on the line, and then she was on the line, and then she was not on the line, and now she's on the line because she can't make her mind up. No, it's because I'm sure she has things she's doing at home. Okay, am I being a little silly? Yeah. Well, you know, what can I say? Blow off a little steam today. So we have Rosemary and Carol in chat and a guest. Hi, everybody in chat. And Rosemary says, praise you, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Yay! Zip, boom, ball, let's go. go, give me a J, J, give me an E, E, give me an S, S, give me a U, U, give me an S, S, what does it spell? Jesus, or Jesus for Spanish. Thank you, Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. And so I have just a couple of things to share. I wanted to play a little more music. It's a Sunday, and, you know, we're just unwinding a little bit, having a relaxed day. Wanted to play some nice kind of worship, and I like to be I didn't play Gone, 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 but I just saw it in studio. I want to be gone, gone, gone. And one way or another, I've got a move out day coming here pretty soon, and we'll see in which direction. But it's a coming, and it's coming for all of us. And so we'll see what it does. I had a flirt today. I had actually a pretty big flirt, and it's I'm going to have to explain it just a little bit. And I have multiple perspectives on it. One or maybe two news items. And let's see. Excuse me. Wow. See, I'm relaxed. And let's see. I don't think I have anything. I'm just sort of summing everything up that I have sitting here. And I could just go into it. Anyway, so let me get to this news item first because it's just a news item. And basically, it's speculation. But this opinion piece is from an outfit called the War Monitor. And this is an article about the Trident missile that was fired from a submarine last night off of Los Angeles area. And there are some quote-unquote secret exercises going out in the Pacific, but relatively near shore. And last night they told us that they fired a test missile after people saw this missile streaking through the sky. And of course, oh, it's UFO, oh, it's this, that, and the other thing. Anyway, finally they came out about an hour after they launched the thing and said, no, we fired a test missile, so on and so forth. Well, this particular piece, and I'm going to read a few quotes from, is just taking it a little bit past those basic facts. The title of the article is California Exercise Was More Than Just a Missile Test. And it says, it's not uncommon for the military to conduct launches such as these, but it's rare that they should be carried out in view of a large civilian population, and this is true. This fact alone brings a few questions to mind. One question being, why seek out curiosity by calling the event a secret exercise, only to allow it to be photographed by the millions living in one of the most populated regions of the United States? Had this launch been carried out during the day, it is unlikely to have provided such a spectacular display, nor would it have attracted such a massive audience. So this is a great big point, because what they're saying is the only way it's going to be seen sight by so many people is to conduct it both near shore and at nighttime, where that bright light from the rocket would be seen so prevalently and for such a long time. So it goes on to say, one possibility that comes to mind is that perhaps, in addition to the missile being tested, the public response was also part of this experiment. In that regard, though it did spark fear in some, it hardly reached any level of mass hysteria. In fact, many people, even those who knew it was a missile test, were not aware of it being unarmed, grabbed their phones to record the event, as opposed to running for shelter. So what they're saying is the people even recognized that it was a missile. Recorded the event instead of headed for shelter. This leads me to believe that if a nuclear strike actually did take place in a major city, millions would die needlessly with their iPhone glued to their fingertips. The video of the incident stormed social media only seconds after the object faded into the darkness, which may have been part of the actual intent. And so what they're saying is this was in part not a stunt, but a intended to get a large amount of media attention. It says the exercise was also carried out to attract the attention of yet another onlooker, Russia. Just a few days ago, Russia had tested a nuclear missile that successfully struck its target, located thousands of miles away from the launch site. This launch, the Trident II launch, was likely carried out in response to that particular operation. This could also serve as another explanation as to why it was carried out at night over a populated region, having the conductors of the operation known that thousands of cameras would suddenly be trained on the missile only to be uploaded to YouTube for the entire world to see, including Russia. If this was the expected outcome, then it certainly was a success. One other possibility, however unlikely, is that perhaps our military is attempting to prepare the U.S. population for what may come. The White House has been consistent in its denials of having triggered a new Cold War. However, this could be an ulterior method of relaying that message without actually having to admit to it. The operation was likely designed in genius to serve multiple purposes. One thing is clear, though, it's far more than just another missile test. This was to send a message to the U.S. citizens and the entire world, but exactly what that message is, however, is still unclear at the moment. Nevertheless, the military did say that these, quote, secret exercises, unquote, would take place over the next week, so keep your eyes on the skies and be sure to have a camera with you. Now, I have my comment. That last paragraph and last couple of lines really caught my attention, because earlier they say, look, if that had been a real missile, you should have been headed for cover. But instead, you stupid people, not even knowing it was an unarmed missile, stood there and took pictures. That's a few paragraphs earlier. Now, the last paragraph says, if you see another one of these, stand there and take pictures. Does that strike you as a little bit weird? It struck me as a little bit weird. And so what I'm saying is, it could very well be a warning to the people, and we have a regime and a world situation where, quite frankly, I think even whoever is in the know, I think there's very few people that are totally in the know. And look, the entire West Coast, if not the entire nation, has now been desensitized to seeing a missile flying overhead for the next week. Very interesting. I'm beginning to wonder, you know, the Lord puts certain little ideas in our minds sometimes, and sometimes we kind of know it, sometimes we don't know it. I mentioned, maybe it was yesterday, I don't know. I was on the phone the other day with Judy, and she was talking about the news, and I'm like, I don't care about the news, I'm tired of the news. The only news I'm interested in is seeing rockets. I'm staring out my window, and the only news I'm interested in is seeing rockets flying in the sky over my house. Huh. Less than a week later, if I had been living in California, I would have been seeing this rocket at night flying in the sky. And furthermore, these so-called secret operations, which, look, when they conduct, this is a PSYOP. Okay, which means a psychology operation. They are the second to last paragraph of this article says, one other possibility, comma, however unlikely, comma, is that perhaps our military is attempting to prepare the U.S. population for what may come. Well, I would say the U.S. military has a better idea of what's coming than most, at least certain elements. So I'm saying in the next week, especially if you're on the West Coast, if you do see a missile flying through the air, whether it's in the day or the night, I would suggest you not take a picture. I would suggest you not bother uploading it on YouTube. I would suggest you actually go for cover. That's what I would suggest. Because you have just been desensitized for a possible attack. Okay, that's my comment about that. Let me check back in here with chat. Oh, there is, Mama Pat dropped off again. Oh, Okay, well, so, but we do have Judy on the line. I think she's muted. But hi, Judy. And who we have? We have, oh, I have to go back up. We have Carol and Rosemary in chat. And we have, intermittently, we're having Pat on. Oh, there she's back. Hi, Pat. You came back. And we also have Michelle online, but she is muted and isn't able to talk from where she's working. So let me open up the line for Mama Pat, too.
Sorry. We're trying to get hold of the landlady, and my daughter doesn't really want to talk to her and is getting late, and I can't get her on the phone, and the landlady, and I called again, and I'm waiting. I told her to use my cell phone to let me know if she wants to talk to us or if we can talk tomorrow, and Laura doesn't. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. She's talking about selling us the house, and it's just like, dear God, take care of this. And it's like, I'm laughing, like, yeah, okay. Laura doesn't want to talk to her. Why can't she just talk to me, but she wants to talk to Laura? So it's a mess, and just a lot of tension here. But if she texts me and says, call me back, then I'm going to have to hang up and whatever, because we have to use the land phones, so we have the conversation going on here with us. So I don't know. It's so messed up. But anyway, I'm going to hang on for as long as I can. Just some numbers today, nothing really except crazy news and whatever. I sent you some articles on some stuff going on and whatever. So hi,
yeah,
guys.
There's
love
a lot
you
out
know.
There. I
That's
did
it.
Look through those things.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
thank
yeah.
you for sending that. Maybe it's just not meant to be tonight.
I don't know. I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm waiting for her to call me back, Laura. She's
nine.
I text her. I know you're looking at your show. I told. Excuse me. I'm going to mute for a second.
Okay. So anyway, so that's one of the things I had. But I have one other thing, and I'm going to, we'll see if Pat gets sorted out here, and then I'll go into this flirt. It's kind of interesting. You know, I think what I'm going to do, let me just see if she can find out one way or the other what she's doing. And I'm going to look for something, anything, something. I think I haven't played in a while. Oh, I know. I played We Are whatever together from so I will do another togetherness song. Not that one. Here we go. Oh, maybe not. There. It's a promising month for the translation, and I agree, but I also said promises, promises, a lot of promises, we've had a lot of promises, following that carrot tied to the end of the stick, come on, Daddy, come on.
Daddy, get her done.
get her done.
Yes.
So, and then Dionne Warwick had a promise, the song, I think. I looked at loading it in, and then it was just too... relationship oriented. I decided not to. anyway. So
okay.
Cool.
Tomorrow
we'll
talk to her.
Thing. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Thank God.
So here's what happened. Let me set this up just a little bit. In our. I mentioned this yesterday, actually, I think, or the day before. And I mentioned it yesterday on the show. Yesterday, what I was talking about was the day before, the Lord led me to a verse. We spoke about it on the show, and in context, the verse just before that, it was Acts 18:11. It was a section about Paul starting the church in Corinth. And it says, the Lord led him to be there, and it was the time when Paul was being attacked by the Jews and he in the synagogue, and he finally left the synagogue. Now, the interesting thing is the leader of the synagogue supported him and was a believer in his teaching in Christ. But there were other Jews there who were attacking him, and he finally said, look, he finally left the seed, finally said, okay, I'm done with you people. Your blood is on your own heads. I am not responsible for the fact that you will not believe what I'm telling you. And so he decided from that moment that, this is Acts 18, he decided from that moment that he would only teach to the Gentiles, and he was in Corinth in Greece. And then the Lord says, okay, go to this place, teach this, and I'll protect you and what have you. So he goes, and it said that the Lord, that Paul taught there for a year and a half. Well, here's the context. The context is, I know very specifically the Lord led me to that verse in that chapter and the verses around it. The verse he led me to was 18:12, Acts 18:12. And that connected to me because the War of 1812 is a kind of a significant curiosity to me. And also, I believe we're kind, in a certain way, we're also fighting another war with the British right now, but it's a secret war, and it's being conducted from within by elements of British intelligence and Fifth Column and, you know, basically the occult society working through government agencies, let's put it that way, Luciferian, so on and so forth. But 1812 caught my attention, and then at the verse just before that, verse 1811, said, something about him teaching there for a year and a half. Well, because the Lord really specifically gave that to me. And he's given me several verses very directly when I've asked that have had poignancy for me. And this was one of those circumstances. And so I thought about that. And I thought, well, gee, a year and a half, that's real close, because the first time I called in, and that same call, you know, did, I guess, some teaching. The first time I called in was the 16th of May, 2014. And a year and a half from that time takes us right to the middle of November. Now, we're about to run out of time. It's a minute and a half to call in if you'd like. I'm going to try to give the quick version here before we go into record mode. The quick version here, 550 days from the 16th of May to the 17th of November. Jason and I had already been looking at the 17th of November as a date set as part of diving back into the Elijah pattern. And 550, like I mentioned yesterday when we were doing a show, to a football game last year, and Judy hosted. I was on the line from the grandstands, and the Lord set, I think, her alarm to 550. Now remember, 550 is a number that fits within the Elijah pattern. Okay, it also has the number 55 within it, and we went through a pattern where a lot of us were seeing 55. Pat, I think you were a lot, and. Anyway, 550 is the number of days between May 16th and November 17th. So today, there was an article in the British newspaper this headline says 550 sheep have disappeared. Now, there's more to that, and they have not really disappeared. But I wanted to get that out before we went into record mode for everybody, and because we are now. And but here's the rest of the story in my Paul Harvey invitation. And now for the rest of the story. Well, here is the story. Here's the story. It says, can you, EWE, spot the 550 sheep in this picture, ? The optical illusion that makes a farmer's invisible, quote-unquote, flock appear to vanish. They did not really vanish. But in the countryside, they were very difficult to see. And this is in Saskatchewan, Canada. And this Liesl Kennedy has a sheep farm, or is a sheep farmer from Saskatchewan, has a flock of about 550 she tends to every day. One morning this week, she came to the fields to find that they had all disappeared until she looked a little closer. In fact, the hundreds of woolly livestock are carefully hidden among the snow and grass in the barren landscape. And so it's a very interesting picture. In the picture they showed at the beginning, you look at this picture, and if you look really, really closely, you can kind of see the sheep. But it is really remarkable how hidden they are. And then there's more pictures that illustrates kind of when you get a little closer, you can begin to see them. But they are incredibly well camouflaged. And it goes on to say that she has this problem with these sheep in all seasons, because no matter what the season is and no matter what the growth on the ground is, somehow they manage to fit into the background in a way that makes them almost impossible to see until you get very close. My point is that on the very day, even less than 12 hours, after I mentioned 550 on the show yesterday evening, this article posts, this is on the Daily Mail, can you spot the 550 sheep in this picture? And it is, in fact, dated. Let's see, published 10:08 Eastern Standard Time, the 8th of November, 2015. Oh, my goodness. Look at this. It says updated at 18:11 Eastern Standard Time. I hadn't even noticed this, but I just told you about that verse for a year and a half. Oh my gosh, that was Acts 18:11. Was the verse that I related to the number 550. Okay, so 10:08 Eastern Standard Time. I think that's about 6 hours different here. So this that would have been 4:08, and so that's 4 plus 8, 9, 3. That's 7 hours. About 7 hours after I mentioned on the show last night about 550. This article posted, can you spot the 550 sheep in this picture? The apparently invisible flock.
Wow.
Okay. So, So this is a huge flirt, okay? Now, this is such a huge flirt, and because it's in the media, and because there's so much going on in the media these days that's less than obvious, shall we say, in its origin, let me just say this. There is no doubt this is a huge flirt, and it's a huge flirt for that day count, which leads me to the middle of next week, 17th, or what, you know, anyway, it's what, 9 days now? It's not the middle of next week, it's 2 weeks. So the 17th, it's 9 days from today.
Mm.
And so this is there's no doubt, this is a date set. This has come up. Now, I want to say something else about this, though. I mean, I'm not going to go on and on about all the whys and wherefores. It stands on its own. I've described it. If you have any questions, you can ask me in an email. I sent Judy this link this morning, and she's just like, whoa. And here's the other funny thing about how I noticed this. Do you know? I saw this. I was just scanning things. I didn't even open the article. All I saw at first was the number 550 in the article. And it never even occurred to me what the rest of the article said, the rest of the headline said. It didn't even occur to me. I sent this article off. I copied and pasted the headline, sent it to Judy, and just mentioned the 550. And then she replied, and I thought about it again. And then I actually read the headline. It's like, oh, my gosh, this is about sheep who are disappearing. That didn't even occur to me. That didn't even occur to me at first. I just saw the number 550, and I locked onto it because I knew I just mentioned it last night on the show, and I knew it related to my garage date set. So this is another example of how distracted I am, okay? So this is definitely a major flirt. But the thing I want to say about it, okay, there's no doubt about it, it's a huge flirt. It's a major curiosity to me. The other thing I want to say about it, though, is this could be from God, or this could be from some spooks who plant articles in newspapers, which they do all the time. I don't know. Here's what I know. God knows.
Yeah.
But there is no doubt that this is a confirmation of a date set. It's a huge, huge flirt. So, yeah, Michelle just sent me a text. Yeah, 550 days. That's inclusive, Michelle. And I was looking exclusive, but still, yeah, it's the same. November 16th, November 17th. That's right. I had already been looking at that. There's also other garage work that goes back to that date of the 16th or the 17th. Actually, I have to say that Jason and I are probably looking at probably a period of 3 days there. The 17th, the 18th, and the 19th. The 19th, of course, will be the 2-year anniversary of the Lord falling on Judy's son. And so that's a big day, and it turns out that November 19th last year was a big day, and I read Jason's email the other day accordingly. But the 17th has also popped up a couple of different ways. And all I know is I mentioned that number on the show last night because it was already a date set. I mean, because it had come up in the year and a half range, and I knew that that scripture was leading me to that time frame, the middle of November, just after the middle of November. And then the day count came up to exactly 550, which also struck me because I knew that we'd encountered that number before in our experiences. So some other day I'll get into the rest of the garage work. He really doesn't have me focused on that right now. My hands are full around me at the moment. I've got a lot to do and a lot to work through. And but this jumped out at me quite obviously. 550 sheep that disappear thing that's a little curious about this is, as I recall, there was a time when either Judy or her son were told directly that in our rapture-centric church or in this country, there people like us, there were about 600. And that 600 is only 50, the Elijah pattern number count, away from 550. So that's what I know. That's what I have about it. I can just ramble, but that's it. That's it. But that was a major flirt for me today. And,
Sure.
Just huge. Just huge. So I was already looking for the middle of November for a couple of reasons. Then this missile thing that's going on where they've got people kind of they're secretly conducting a publicly known military drill off the coast of California.
There's another reason. China.
Yeah.
The war in China.
Yeah, absolutely. Off. Yes. I agree with that.
That's what that was.
And
made.
That missile was fired the day or 2 days after that ship left the port of Jacksonville.
Okay.
The Chinese ship was, you know,
Still
on
running.
A diplomatic mission. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got the stuff.
Yeah.
So watch out.
So I saw. Well, yeah, but so fine. You know, they've got the stuff too. And you know who designed all that stuff they have? We designed all that stuff they have. And the Clintons quite literally imported Chinese spies into our nuclear program so that they could steal the designs of the nuclear warheads and ship them back to China so that they could be copied. And then, using our scrap metal to make the weapons.
I think we're dumb.
Yeah. We have been sold out and sold down the river over and over and over again by a bunch of people who have done it intentionally. Mm-hmm. And it's a dirty, rotten shame, and I know they are going to pay, everyone who has deliberately done this. I am praying that this nation somehow, some way, the Lord has a way to meet the people who in this nation, the very many people in this nation who are God-fearing and fundamentally honest and unfortunately been woefully misled and deceived for generations. And setting the stage for what we have right now coming, World War III. And now there are people starting to write articles. Is Obama deliberately trying to start World War III is the question?
I know.
And the answer is, if you know who he is, yes. That's actually his purpose. That is his purpose. And so if you understand that, then the chaos that ensues from everything he does, the fact that almost universally, when he says one thing, the people working under him are doing exactly the opposite is undeniable. It's a historical fact. And just recently I saw an article, or he made this statement, yesterday the White House released with tremendous amount of diplomatic media support, lots of spokesmen for the White House were involved in a press conference where they have formally declared that there would be no two-state solution in the Middle East between the so-called Palestinians, which we know as Philistines, and the Israelis. And now, some people in the world say, oh, it's too bad, da, da, da. Others are saying, oh, finally, let's get the charade over, because there never was going to be an agreement between those factions as long as Israel exists. And that's true. And then others are, however, my reaction was, and in fact, I think I said that in an email yesterday, was, okay, so what's next? So if they're going to declare the two-state solution dead, they will only do that because they have another plan. And the plan is a one-state solution. They are going to try to force the Israelis to, where has this template been put into place? They're going to try to attempt to make the nation of Israel accept all those Palestinians as citizens with a right to vote. And if they do, they know numerically, in no time, the Israelis will be voted out of their own land and government. But the other thing that went through my mind when I saw that is, every time Obama makes a statement, behind the scenes, the opposite is what's happening. So he made a declarative statement, which is almost never done in diplomacy. Because if you're a diplomat and it's your job to carry on quote-unquote negotiations, which is a fancy way of saying distributing money into the palms of people, you know, at cocktail parties and pretending to be important, then you never say the negotiation is over, because it's like saying your job is done or you're fired. So then negotiations and these things never end. It's like taxes. Every tax that's implemented lives forever because they never take it back. So they never end, these things. So when he came out and said that the two-state solution was dead, history tells me of Obama that, in fact, it's very much alive. And to declare it dead may mean it's been completed. It may actually mean there is an agreement behind the scenes, or they expect one very, very soon. Because the easiest time for sneaky diplomacy to occur is when nobody thinks it's happening. This is how the Oslo Accords were put in place. It all happened behind the scenes, and all of a sudden, shazam, oh, yeah, we're all going to get together and sign this thing. Oh, what is it? Oh, you can read it after we sign it. Where have we heard that before? Obamacare, Pacific Trade Pact. You can read it after it's passed. Don't worry. Trust us. Okay? So when Obama says one thing, it's exactly the opposite, almost always is true. Therefore, there's a very strong likelihood that their agreement for a two-state solution is in place. So that's just what I know from watching. And we will see. It's not a word from the Lord. This is just me reading whatever. But I believe history and understanding the character of these people should be giving us that kind of an insight into what's going on. Now, that won't help Israel. In fact, nothing will help Israel except turning to God. Nothing will help the United States except turning to God.
Right.
People need to cry out in repentance, and I think it's going to happen. But based on all of the words that we've heard here and elsewhere, I think there's a very strong possibility they're only going to do it after the nation is ravaged by a devastating attack. However, the prophecy of Israel is such that there will only be a relatively small remnant which survive, go into the wilderness, and form the core, the basis, the surviving remnant that will go into the millennial kingdom. There are many, many parallels between Israel's history and the history of the United States. So, we will see. We will see. That's pretty much what I have right now. I've got Judy on the line. I think she's muted. Michelle's still on the line. And on with that, there you are.
Yep.
And I see a lot of words coming out. I see, as we know, there's a lot of stuff in the news. There's another earthquake. I'm actually, by the way,
Indonesia.
I am curious. I'm curious about the possibility of a large magnitude, very large magnitude earthquake in Chile again.
Yeah, could be.
I'm wondering if those two sixes, they had a 5.9 and a 6.
Yeah.
4.
6.8 right? or 4, yeah.
Well, the Indonesia was 6.8, I think.
Yeah, Indonesia.
But in Chile, a few days before that, there was a 6.4, and I went and looked, and there was also a 5.9.
Mm-hmm.
I'm somewhat curious about the possibility that those could be foreshocks of a large one. I'm not saying I'm for sure, but the earthquake activity has been picking up, and if you look at the Pacific Plate, the action tends to be somewhat diagonal across the plate. Not completely, but I have noticed that there's often activity. When you see activity in Chile, you often see activity around Indonesia. You see activity around Indonesia, you also often see activity around Chile. When you see activity on the opposite side of the southern end of the plate, in Australia and particularly New Zealand, you often see activity up in, say, Alaska. Not the same magnitudes, but they seem to kind of, so this diagonal function across this plate seems to be a frequent pattern that occurs. And, of course, where we haven't really seen any, we've seen very little notable major activity is the Juan de Fuca plate, which is a small plate next to the Pacific plate. And basically, from Northern California up through mid-British Columbia on the coast. And that is an area where there is a little bit of movement, but mostly it's locked, and everything around the other Pacific Rim and areas seem to be moving instead of that area. Does that mean the pressure is being taken by all the stuff around the rest of the Pacific Rim? Yeah, I think it does. But it also means that it's been a really long time since there's been a significant release of pressure in that area. And this is the northwestern United States, big one, that is considered to be basically due. In fact, arguably, it's overdue. So We'll see. So that's kind of what I have today. I don't know if anybody else has anything. I'm going to check chat real quick and see if anybody had any. Oh, somebody just wished me luck. Yep. Okay, we're kind of done in chat for the night. So that's what I got.
Okay, that's good. I like the sheep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, especially disappearing sheep. Can't get better than that.
Yeah, that's us.
That is us.
That is us.
That is us. We're the sheep.
Sheep of the...
hide away.
Sheepfold with the shepherd.
Yeah.
Good shepherd. Yeah.
Let's see what I can find.
Gotta open the gate.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm encouraged. It's just that I'm also highly distracted. What I can say is the Lord is really working with me here, but it's very, you know, step by step. It's not, you know, big sweeping stuff. And it's like these verses that he gives me. And some of them have been incredibly poignant. And really spoke to me personally, which I certainly appreciate. I share a lot of them. And so we will see. You know what? I play this very often, but I'm going to give a context to it. It's a Toby Mac song, Steal My Show, and Jesus Comes as a Thief. So because Jesus comes as a thief, we say... steal our show. I'll come back to that.
Yep.
And this is Jacob and Miss Wampy. I'm going to tell you, we just arrived at Mary Sullivan Pool.
So I think I'll send us out with our Spirit of the Bride song, Song of the Bride.
Okay.
And see you in the air. Or sooner. I mean, see you in the air or tomorrow. Okay, thank you all, and we'll see you or talk to you soon. Love you.
Amen.
Amen. Spirit of the Bride says come.
Spirit in the Bride, say come. Spirit in the Bride, say come. Come, glorious Father, come, King of Kings, Lord of all creation, Lord of everything, who was and is to come, the risen Lord. We want to be with you today forevermore. Come, glorious Father, come, King of Kings, Lord of all creation, you're the Prince of Peace. Your bride awaits for you with heads uplifted high. Today we look for you, our champion in the sky. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Today we welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Come, glorious Father, come, King of Kings, Lord of all creation, Lord of everything, who was and is to come, the risen Lord. We want to be with you today forevermore. Come, glorious Father, come, King of Kings, Lord of all creation, you're the Prince of Peace. Your bride awaits for you with heads uplifted high. Today we look for you, our champion in the sky. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Today we welcome you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Today we welcome you, Lord, come. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Come, glorious Father. Come, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come, glorious Father, come today, we welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Come, King of Kings, come, Lord of Lords. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come. Today we welcome you, Lord, come. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Come, glorious Father. Come, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come, glorious Father, come today, we welcome you, Lord. Spirit and the Bride, say come. Worthy is the Lamb who was and is to come.